Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Acts 3. One afternoon, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those entering the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked directly at him, as did John. "Look at us," said Peter. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Taking him by the right hand, Peter helped him up. And at once the man's feet and ankles were made strong. He sprang to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and leaping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man clung to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and ran to them in the walkway called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why are you surprised by this? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over and rejected him before Pilate, even though he had decided to release him. You rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know has been made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given him this complete healing in your presence. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But in this way, God has fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn back, so that your sins may be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, who has been appointed for you. Heaven must take him in until the time comes for the restoration of all things, which God announced long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must listen to him in everything he tells you. Everyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have proclaimed these days. And you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers when he said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring all the families of the earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." This is God's word. God's power was at work in the world and in the disciples like never before in the days after Pentecost, which we read about yesterday. Here in chapter 3, Peter was headed with John to the temple to pray, healed a man who had never walked, and healed him by the power of Jesus, as we saw in verses 1 through 11. Then Peter explained the good news to the audience around him in verses 12 through 26. In the middle of Peter's gospel message, he said these words, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." That's verse 15 in the NIV. I find that phrase, "you killed the author of life," fascinating. The word author describes God as a storyteller. He has a plan, and it is unfolding through the lives of everyone in Scripture, as well as in your life and in mine. As the author of life, God is the creator of all things, including life. The Bible tells us this repeatedly, and tells us repeatedly that Jesus, the second person of God, was the active agent of the Trinity, who is the one who created. It was his voice that said, "Let there be light," and it was he who formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It was Jesus who took a rib from Adam's side to create Eve. There is no life apart from him. Ironic, then, that men killed Jesus. Apart from the creating power of Jesus, humanity would never have existed. Apart from his sustaining grace, as other passages of Scripture tell us, humanity would cease to exist. Jesus is the author of life, not only making us alive, but writing for each one of us a story, a personality, a background, a cast of other characters, and all the other elements in a story. Yet, when he entered the world, he was not honored by the characters in his story, the story that he wrote as the author. Instead, he was killed, even though all living things depend on him. Fortunately, this was all part of his story, and it did not end with his death. Instead, verse 15b says, God raised him from the dead. We celebrate that truth every time we remember Jesus, especially on Easter Sunday. But as important as remembering the event of the resurrection is, it is even more important to understand the point of the resurrection. And the point of the resurrection is this: repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. That's verses 19 and 20 from the NIV. I produce these devotionals for Christians to strengthen us with God's word. But it is possible that someone is listening to this or watching this who is not a Christian. Do you understand that your story, your life, is one thread in a thick fabric of interwoven stories of all people? Do you see that all of us depend on Jesus for our existence? That all of us need him to rescue us from the consequences of our sin and rebellion against God? And that all of us are designed to bring glory and worship to Jesus when he returns to be our Lord on this earth? If so, turn to him. In the words of verse 19, repent then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The author of life is calling you to experience eternal life through him, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you and to give you eternal life, and he will. But for those of us who are Christians already, remember that your life isn't really about you. You are a character in the life of Jesus. He's the one on the hero's journey. As the author of life, he devised the plot and set this story into motion. So let's focus on him in our lives and point others to him for eternal life. And then he will come and conclude this story well. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and enter your email address to receive a free email subscription. Please consider supporting me financially if you're able to do so and would like to do so. You can go to dailypbj.com/support. And please share this with someone else. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.